thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, November 7th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Doctors vow to press on with their crippling industrial action as the cash-strapped government battles to end the strike by the doctors who are demanding a salary review and an improvement of their working conditions.
For the urgent issues, there's no compromise. They have to find a solution quickly so that you go back to work. The situation is dire. Patients are suffering. People are being killed away. So we cannot wait for the budget.
Journalist Itai Zamara and human rights lawyer Kennedy Masie are spending a second night in hospital after they were severely assaulted by Harare police yesterday.
A scan was actually done yesterday on my body, and said that I had two broken bones on my left arm. And today, further scans were done on my back, especially on the spine, because maybe trouble is moving.
And Bulawayo residents organize a peaceful march to protest against the government's directive to local authorities to install prepaid water meters, saying they cannot afford to pay in advance for the service due to economic hardships.
The cash-strapped government is battling to end the strike by doctors who laid down their stethoscopes some 12 days ago, demanding a salary review and the improvement of their working conditions. But with no solution in sight, the crisis is deepening, with more senior doctors joining the strike initiated by junior and middle-level doctors nearly 2 weeks ago, a senior official in the health ministry has confirmed. Senior consultants at Parirenyatwa, Harare, Chitungwiza, Mpilo, and the United Bulawayo Hospitals tell Studio 7 that they are overwhelmed with patients and are now admitting only those with critical needs. There are fears also that the strike may spread to provincial and district hospitals that cater mainly for the rural poor. But despite government promises to address their concerns relating to poor salary and working conditions, the doctors say they will maintain their industrial action until the government meets at least their demand for review of their on-call and risk allowances.
But many say that it is unlikely, given the demands on the cash-strapped government to pay its more than 250,000 civil service workers. Zimbabwe Revenue Authority sources tell Studio 7 that ZIMRA is struggling to raise revenue to pay government workers. ZIMRA, the sources say, is 3 months behind its revenue collection schedule as it continues to miss targets. Bearing the brunt of the doctor's strike are mostly the country's poor, who cannot afford the high consultation fee private hospitals charge, which starts at $10. In some private hospitals, general practitioners charge $50, while specialist fees can go up to $120. Despite all this, president of the 400-member Hospital Doctors Association, Dr. Fortune Nyamande, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that there's no going back.
On the 30th of October, the minister promised us that they were going to review our on-call allowances to an average of $720, and also they're going to reintroduce risk allowance of $180. So on that aspect, we're still waiting for the minister to come back to us and advise us of when this agreement is going to be effective. Then on the other level, with the health service board, we identified issues that we said should be solved in the medium to the long term. So for the medium to the long term, there are issues like the housing allowance, the duty-free allowances, and the review of the basic salary. And this, we said that these things will be reviewed, which includes the period between now and up to the announcement of the budget.
But we understand that government is saying you must wait for that budget by Minister Chinamasa so that some of those issues that you are raising can be addressed.
There's that agreement in principle, but that is for the medium to the long-term issues. For the urgent issues, there's no compromise. They have to find a solution quickly so that you go back to work. The situation is dire. Patients are suffering. People are being turned away. So we cannot wait for the budget. You know, we cannot have 1 month for a country which is not providing health services to people.
But the health service board is saying you were not attending some of the meetings, and as a result, this has worsened the situation.
No, I don't think that's true. We have been attending to their latest meetings. There's no point for us to attend the fruitless meetings. You know, we have had the representatives attending their meetings for the past 3 years, and that can never be an excuse. These are simply landings of someone who's dishonest and who is just trying to fool the public.
Are these strikes spreading to the provinces, or they are just confined to Harare and Bulawayo?
No, we do have people in the provinces who are joining in, and they also even at the district hospitals. Because you know, the health system works as a unit. As long as the tertiary hospitals are not functioning, then the impact will also be felt at the lower level hospitals. So instead, the whole system is affected.
That was President of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, Dr. Fortune Nyamande, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Reacting, Executive Chairman of the Health Service Board, Dr. Alaf Mombengeranwa, told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the government is operating on a shoestring budget but is willing to engage the doctors.
The way things go is that anything with financial implications requires the concurrence of Treasury. So in the negotiations, the Treasury has to be there and also listen to their viewpoint. It so happens that this is taking place at a time when the budget is being crafted. At that meeting with the minister, they were assured that the budget will be announced on the 27th of November and they should go back to work, be patient, and if nothing has happened, their grievances have not been fully addressed or partially addressed in the budgetary statement, then they can raise the issue again. They chose not to follow that route, but I'm glad to say that they attended a negotiating forum, and as I'm talking now, I think they are wrapping up the discussions. The previous meeting which they had, the workers agreed that they will come up with a consolidated paper, and unfortunately, the paper I got this morning did not include the issues they had raised. So the purpose of this meeting is to make sure that their submissions are part of that submission, which will be processed. So it's most unfortunate that the press coverage has not been balanced. We've tried to balance it, but you see what we've shied away to try and debate issues or negotiate in the press. But they have been given ample time and opportunity to express themselves. It's been acknowledged at the highest level that yes, the grievances are genuine. The main problem the country is facing is the budgetary constraint.
Are you going to invite doctors from the security personnel, say from the Air Force, the Army, and the police?
The accounting officer and the CEOs, these are the chief executive officers of the various institutions. I'm sure they've got some contingency plans in place.
That was Executive Chairman of the Health Service Board, Dr. Love Mombengeranwa, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Journalist Itai Dzamara and human rights lawyer Kennedy Masie are spending a second night in hospital after they were severely assaulted by Harare police yesterday. Police attacked Dzamara during a sit-in protest against President Robert Mugabe's leadership at Africa Unity Square and lashed out at his lawyer, Masie, when he came for his client. Dzamara, who passed out twice after the assault, told Studio 7 a scan to determine whether he had sustained internal injuries turned out negative, adding, although he was still in excruciating pain, he was excited about the result. Also speaking from Avenue's clinic where the two are admitted, Masie, who sustained a broken arm, said doctors scanned him for internal injuries today. Masie tells reporter Ntunga Milinkomo he's in great pain, adding he is considering legal action against the police.
I'm actually in pain, and my arm was actually broken. So a scan was actually done yesterday on my body, and said that I had two broken bones on my left arm. And today, further scans were done on my back, especially on the spine, because I'm having troubles moving, walking. So the results are yet to come. So I'm just waiting for the results from the doctor.
Can you take us through the assault? How did it come to that point that the police started beating you up?
Today, I'm actually shocked. I don't even know why I and my client were beaten. I received a phone call from a friend of Dzamara. He said, no, Dzamara was being assaulted by the police. So I had to go to the place where he was, and upon getting there, he was lying down unconscious. So as I was trying now to get help. The group's police officers, I think there were about 8, then I approached where I was, and they then started to threaten me why I was in the park and where I was standing, where Tamara was. And then the guy started to then assault me. And I produced my practice certificate. Guys, I'm a lawyer, and I'm here to represent my client, who is now at the verge of dying. You know, producing my practice certificate seems as if I actually put petrol into the fire, because then just angered them.
How about internal injuries? Did you not sustain any?
Yes, those are the scans that I was done today to determine whether they might have been internal injuries that would not have been seen by the first scan. So the results would actually then determine the extent, if any, and how much time I'll spend in hospital.
Are you considering any legal action against the police?
Yes, definitely. Because such brutality cannot just go unchecked. And yesterday, when this happened, I actually tried to make a report at the police station, and the service that I got was actually shocking. They just made me to lie in anguish on some bench. And I was just groaning and crying in agony, because I just wanted to make the report and get a request for medical. So until my colleagues came, nothing actually happened to such an extent that I actually collapsed. And I just found myself here in hospital yesterday.
That was human rights lawyer Kennedy Masiye on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo in Harare. Efforts to get comment from police spokesperson Chief Superintendent Paul Nyati went unanswered.
The two-day Zimbabwe Diamond Conference ended in Harare today, with participants emphasizing the need for beneficiation of value addition to ensure the country's diamonds fetch better returns on the international market. The conference was officially opened by President Robert Mugabe yesterday. He challenged the mining industry to invest more in new technologies that will enable value addition. Studio 7 reporter Junga Kandemiri speaks with Resources Exploitation Watch Chairman Tafazwa Msarara, who attended the conference.
The German conference, which started yesterday, was officially opened by His Excellency the President. And he really emphasized the issue, or the fact that the beneficiation, which is part of the Zimbabwe economic blueprint called Zima Asset, must be intensified and must be accelerated. A number of programs have been put in place, and a number of legal reforms have also been put in place to achieve that. Key among them is the reduction of the annual license fees for the players in the diamond industry from 100,000 per year to 20,000 per 5 years, which is literally a reduction from 100,000 per year to 4,000 per year. This is a positive development that has been welcomed by diamond players. One of them, again, is to do with the distribution of the gems and the bots, so that the local diamond cutters will be able to assess gem quality diamonds. The other one also relates to the issue of transparency, which is being held through an old diamond mine tender system managed by an international company.
What about the issue of communities benefiting from diamond mining? Was this discussed?
The thrust was to do with beneficiation. And I think you appreciate that you can't achieve or can't discuss all these matters in 2 days. The thrust was to do with the beneficiation, where we really need international players.
That was the Resources Exploitation Watch Chairman Tafazwa Msarara speaking with Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Natural Resources Dialogue Forum says there's need for transparency in the country's diamond mining sector. The forum, the secretive nature of contracts and the controversies surrounding the process of company mergers in Marange, is a major cause for concern. In a statement, the diamond mining watchdog based in Mutare said the country is confronted by a plethora of challenges that do not augur well for the beneficiation of local communities. Executive Director Freeman Boso told Studio 7 that the ambiguity over the $50 million that was directed to the Zimunya Marange Share Ownership Trust is an example of how the diamond mining sector continues to miss its intended target of benefiting the local community.
Diamond Conference has come at a time where as a nation would perhaps be also making reflection on how much forward we have gone forward in terms of economic development and socio-economic transformation of communities and the country from the revenue that has been accrued from diamond sales. So as an organization, we were of the opinion that there are so many issues that confront the country and confront communities with regard to diamond mining in Zimbabwe. We've got communities that were relocated to other Transvaal, which have not been duly compensated. We have got an outstanding audit report of the ZMDC of 2013, which has not yet been published. We do not also know the quantum of the resource at Siyazuka to date. So we felt as an organization that it is with due respect and due process for us to ascertain the quantum of the resource first and also speak to human rights issues, human security issues, issues of value addition before we continue to invite international players to be part of the party.
But on the human rights aspect, was this not addressed by the Kimberley Process Scheme?
I think it, to in my own opinion, it has not been addressed adequately because there are oversight hanging issues with regard to environmental injustices, ecological debts, and also lack of clarity even with the money that was claimed to have been channeled to the Community Share Ownership Trust.
Freeman Boso is the executive director of the Zimbabwe Natural Resources Dialogue Forum. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Mutare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Chris, it's now time for us to look at regional and international news.
An explosion at an ATM in northeastern Nigeria has killed at least 8 people and injured many more. Police spokesman Muhammad Haruna says the blast went off today in the town of Azare in Bauchi State. A witness tells VOA that bombs were planted on 2 motorcycles near the bank where the ATM was located.
A major U.S. newspaper reports that more than 600 U.S. veterans of the Iraqi war said they were exposed to chemical weapon agents since 2003 and that the Pentagon took little or no action. Yesterday's report by the New York Times says Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel discovered the exposure during an internal review of questionnaires that troops filled out at the end of their deployment in Iraq.
And China and Japan have agreed to ramp up dialogue, a move that could represent a breakthrough in long frosty ties between the world's second and third largest economies. Beijing's foreign ministry said today the two sides agreed to gradually resume political, diplomatic and security dialogue and make efforts to build a political mutual trust.
Bulawayo residents say they've organized a peaceful march in the city to protest against the government's directive to local authorities to install prepaid water meters, as they say they cannot afford to pay in advance for the service due to economic hardships. Dubbed anti-water prepaid meters march, the protest is scheduled for Friday next week, and participants include various civic groups and residents who maintain that the prepaid meters are a violation of their fundamental rights to water. Bulawayo
really
Progressive.
You have got to put money first before you get water. And when that money is consumed, automatically the water system stops. And we are saying, in such a situation, most households will not have running water. And as such, you'll be faced with the situation of being attacked by diseases just like cholera, for instance. And also, we must know that when you're talking about water, there is that cultural practice that is within the residents or communities. We know that when there's bereavement, normally people will be using toilets from neighboring houses and what have you. But if these things come into play, obviously, that practice will stop. It's now destroys Ubuntu as a people. And more so, in the case of fire, we have seen that when a house catches fire, these fire brigade by the guys, they come and get water from possibly neighboring house in order to put off the fire. But you say if we are now choosing, in the process, if the money is consumed, the water will stop coming out. And then we are saying the property of the people are in danger as well.
How exactly are you going to conduct this march? Who is your audience?
We are targeting the minister. Of course, we are going to write the petition, which must be sent to the government. And of course, we'll also send another petition to the record authority. It's not the only Bulawayo City Council issue now. It's a national issue. The other local authorities will also go in the same exercise. So we are targeting the government and also targeting the local authorities.
That was Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association Secretary General Ambrose Sibindi, who is part of the organizers of the march. You are speaking there with reporter Sitandekile Mhlanga. Some Gweru residents say they are concerned about the Gweru City Council's proposed budget for 2015, which will see some rates and tariffs increase by as much as 35% if approved at a time ordinary people are struggling to make ends meet, with companies closing down and people's buying power being eroded every day. Correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
Some residents who spoke to Studio 7 say the intended tariff increase would worsen the plight of residents who are already burdened by the country's worsening economic problems. During a meeting where council unveiled the proposed 2015 budget to residents yesterday, Finance Director Edgar Mwedzi revealed that council has budgeted a total revenue expenditure of $31.8 million for the coming year. He said if council continues to charge current rates and tariffs in 2015, it would get a potential net income of $24 million, which would result in a shortfall of $7.7 million, adding council would need to raise rates and tariffs by 35% in order to break even. Mwedzi said a debt of $9.1 million, arising mainly from the 2013 debt cancellation directive by the local government ministry, will be carried forward to the next year. He said council intends to pay off part of the deficit through the intended increased rates and tariffs. The city treasurer said in its crafting of the proposed budget, the council took into consideration the economic problems that the country continues to face and said the local authority had not increased most of the rates and tariffs that affect ordinary people. But citing the increase of water charges from 60 to 80 cents per cubic liter, Chairperson Cornelius Alipiwe of the Gweru Residents and Ratepayers Association, or GRA, accused council of misinforming residents and lacking in transparency.
I mean, as an association, we accommodate divergence of opinions. But truly speaking, the city council people are already lying. Because if they are saying that they've only increased 35% to issues that has to do with commercials, but why is it that they've increased 20 cents on water tariffs? It's from 60 cents to 80 cents. The current problem that we have as a country is not that people don't want to pay, but the shortage of disposable income. The increase is not allowed, and we are going to engage the mayor so that they won't go ahead with this proposed budget.
The Gweru City Council had not changed its rates and tariffs in the past 2 years. Former Deputy Mayor Taurai Demo said while he understood the need for council to collect enough revenue for effective service delivery and the importance of paying off its deficit, the council should not seek to do this by making life more difficult for the already struggling residents by increasing rates and tariffs. Grace Mnandri, another resident, agrees. She says it is illogical for council to expect residents to be able to afford increased rates and tariffs when most of them have already been finding it difficult to meet the current payments.
I don't think raising rates is the way forward. Last year, up to the present moment, the residents have accumulated a debt of more than 33 million. It means people do not have disposable income. I would suggest that the council improve their revenue collection methods. We understand that they are raising a lot of revenue through parking tariffs. That's an avenue of collecting revenue, but they should improve on transparency. They should try to stamp out corruption.
Although in its proposed budget, council says it will reduce the expenditure on salaries and allowances by 2% from 42%, Secretary Reward Muri of the Gweru United Residents Association, or GURA, feels this is inadequate. He also says the budget cannot be viewed as pro-poor, as the initial fees that residents have to pay for vending, for example, have been increased from $10 to $20. Despite these sentiments, another resident, Taurai Mukarati, says the council has tried its best under the circumstances to strike a balance between residents' plight and the need to collect enough revenue, enabling it to operate efficiently. Chairperson Emilia Chamunogwa of Ward 15 Development Committee agrees.
I feel the budget is okay considering the prevailing situation. As you are well aware, ordinary people are experiencing serious difficulties because of the country's economic problems. So I feel that the crafting of the budget with proposed increases to some rates and tariffs was done prudently. I think it's a good budget.
Council is expected to come up with a final budget in December after allowing residents and other stakeholders to make their input. Local authorities throughout the country have been experiencing serious revenue problems due to the current economic problems that the country is facing. The situation was worsened by the 2013 Local Government Ministry Directive that compelled all urban councils to cancel debts owed to them by residents. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shava.
It's time now for Mailbag, where we read the mail that you send us. Sandy, what do you have?
A lot of mail, Chris. We really have a lot of emails, so thank you so much. Keep them rolling in. The first one says, George Orwell's Animal Farm fits Zimbabwe very well until Grace's entry. This is from Bandambabu, Alistair in Mayo.
This one says, hi, Blessing, Jonga and Sandra. I want to take this time to thank you for giving us timely news without taking sides. I would like to greet my relatives in Chundura in the Chizvina Book, my mother, Last Chiminya, Atwell Chiminya, Edison Chiminya. My name is Christopher Chiminya. Thank you very much.
And the next one is from Faith Mataro in Zimbabwe. She says, how are you, Studio 7 team? Keep on moving.
This one is from... I can't see the name, but it says, greetings to all Studio 7 staff. I'm a listener in Mbire District. Go ahead with the balanced reporting. Musa Zore Tswimbo Basa Sebasa Varume Ndatenda. That's what he says.
Oh, yes. And Andrew Kokera says, thank you guys for the good that you are doing. Keep the fire burning.
Ngube Pride writes, keep up the good work, guys. We rely on you for fair, balanced, and well-researched news. God bless.
And we have one from Enzo, which says, big up, guys, you are doing a sterling job. Kunoku Zimbabwe, things have fallen apart in the ruling party.
Thank you very much for all your mails. And yeah, I think we had one long one. I don't know if
I think the long one, I'm sure we'll leave it for next week, but we'll read the shorter ones because time is not on our side. The next one says, thank you guys for good news you give us every day. This is Good More Gems in South Africa. Thank you so much for writing us to us. Please keep them rolling in. This is your mailbag. So keep on. Chris, I think we have time to recap today's top stories.
Doctors vow to press on with their crippling industrial action as the cash-strapped government battles to end the strike by the doctors who are demanding a salary review and an improvement of their working conditions.
Journalist Itai Zamara and human rights lawyer Kennedy Masie are spending a second night in hospital after they were severely assaulted by Harare police yesterday.
And Bulawayo residents organize a peaceful march to protest against the government's directive to local authorities to reinstall to install prepaid water meters, saying they cannot afford to pay in advance for the service due to economic hardships.
That's our broadcast this evening, but please remember to stay tuned for Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Blessing and Gibbs will speak with you and experts about the situation in the country's hospitals. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington, leaving you in Ntungamili and Standikile's hands.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.